Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Things, so it's a little hard to get going. Somebody say, praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Amen. Be seated, friends. We're so glad that you've come to worship with us. If you're participating online, it's an honor to have you worshiping from home or wherever you are, and we would invite you to take a moment right now to let us know that you're there by following the prompts on the screen. If you are a guest in the room, it's an honor to have you here. We'd love to know that you're here. If you could please fill out the worship registration attached to the worship guide you received on the way in, or if you would prefer, you can scan the QR code there on the guide or on the back of the seat in front of you, and there's a registration there. We have a special gift to send you in the mail. We will not show up unannounced, but we do have a gift to send you, so we hope that you will do that. I hope everyone is excited to come and gather together for worship today. As we pray and begin our time together, let me mention that our Church of the Week we're praying for this week is Lake City Assembly of God in Gunnersville. I love their pastor, Gary Kraft. He is a dear friend. I appreciate his ministry. I appreciate the church. They have done so much for our community over the years. They were the first ones, really, to bring contemporary Christian radio to our county many, many years ago. Still, they have done so many other things where they have led and pioneered in our county, and I'm thankful for their ministry. We want to pray for them. And then our missionaries of the week this week are Chris and Laura Hilburn. Chris and Laura are right here from Albertville, but they serve in Scotland, so pray for them as they are a part of a church plant team and a work that is happening, and for God to do a powerful work among them. I will also ask you to pray for a couple of other groups of people. We have 35 or 36 teenagers who are right now in Gatlinburg at what's called at a winter conference. There are multiple winter conferences happening right now, but they're at one. We're so excited for them to be there. They've already had a wonderful time together. They have more sessions this evening, and so pray for them throughout the day and for them as they travel home tomorrow. And then also in our city, we'll pray for, we have 400 people that are making their way now to Washington, D.C. Our high school band was scheduled to perform, to march in the parade for the inauguration tomorrow. Due to the dangerously cold temperatures, the parade was canceled. And so only the military parts of the parade will carry on indoors. Everything else, all the high school bands and all, are no longer able to perform. But they went on anyway to enjoy the sightseeing. The trip was paid for. Could not change that. So pray for them and their safety as they travel and all that will take place there. A lot of things to pray for today. Let's pray as we carry on in worship. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together today in small groups. I thank you for the opportunity you gave us already to worship together. And then now for this group that's gathered here. Lord, in this room, there will never be another time that this exact makeup of people will gather, everyone exactly as they are. So God, this is a unique opportunity for us to worship you. So God, my prayer is that, truthfully, I wouldn't waste it. That I wouldn't get wrapped up in logistics or other things right now. That I wouldn't be focused on things going on among family and friends or outside of this place. That, but for the next few moments, Lord, I can focus my mind's attention on you. Lord, I pray the same for every person in this room, that we would give you our worship. We would give you our sacrifice of praise. We would give you our devotion. We would give you our attention. And Lord, my prayer is that everybody in this room and those participating online would take a second right now to just say yes, to put our yes on the table before you even ask the question. God, you are trustworthy. You are sovereign. You are holy. And so you're not going to lead us somewhere that is for our harm. Lord, you will lead us somewhere that is for your glory and, Lord, for our good. So we pray that we could live for your glory, that we would say yes to you. Lord, I pray for Lake City. I pray that you bring revival to them today. I pray for Pastor Gary as he brings a message that you'd speak through him. Lord, I pray for Chris and Laura and their kids as they serve in Scotland, that you would help them to build relationships and friendships, that you'd be their provider for all of their resources and their needs. Lord, that you'd give them good health. Lord, that they would see the fruit of their labor, that you would continue to see more people come to know you there. God, I take a moment to pray for our students, that you would move for the vast majority of our students who are participating together in Gatlinburg, that they would have an incredible time of worship. Worship for them may look a little different than it does in this room, but God, my prayer is that they would encounter you. Lord, the reality is, I know when 1,000 teenagers get together in a room and focus on you, they will encounter you. I guess my real prayer is, Lord, don't let us miss it in this room. So God, I pray that we could be like a group of teenagers where we come before you and say, God, I humbly say, whatever you want from me, I give you my life, my hands, my all. So God, do that with us in this room. Do that in me. Lord, you are holy. You are set apart. So we will sing to you about that now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let's stand together as we sing.
Early in the morning,
We sung this song and introduced it last week. We're going to sing together, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Let's sing that together this morning.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless fees. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is fine. But I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will be. Thank you.
It is because of Jesus in us, Father, that we can run the race complete. It's because of Jesus in us that we can experience grace and mercy. So we thank you for salvation. We thank you that Jesus came and brought us new life. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit drew us to you, now dwells in us, seals our salvation. So, Father, we're asking that the Holy Spirit will move among us. Change us. Lord, I pray you wouldn't stir us. I pray you'd change us. Change us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. This little chorus, I hope you know it. Would you sing with me? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Sing that with me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me. Melt me, mold me. Fill me, use me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Pray again. Father God, I ask that you would please let the Holy Spirit fall fresh on us today. Oh, Holy Spirit, that you would touch our hearts, that you'd inspire us, that you'd encourage us, that you would do delicate surgery in us where it's needed, that you would chisel and chip away things of the world, that we'd leave here with the heart to see people the way you see them, to love people the way you love them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, welcome. Today we have a surprise guest with us, and I'm very excited to have Mike Williams to come and preach. Not the Mike Williams who's a member of our church. We're not going to allow that to happen. But the Mike Williams, it's comedian Mike Williams, known around, really around the world. But Mike is a nationally known comedian. Listen, I will tell you this about Mike. He is a friend to our ministry. He has been here multiple times to share nights of comedy with us, to help us raise money for Crisis Pregnancy Center, to help us raise money for Advanced 20 Mission Fund, to help us to come and talk about the Dominican and any number of things. He's preached here before as well. And you say, well, how does a comedian preach? And someone asked me this morning, is he going to be funny? He was funny a little bit and very challenging. Not a little bit. I don't mean that negative towards you, Mike. I'm sorry. But I want to say this about Mike. If you're new to us and don't know Mike, Mike, early on in his career as a comedian, has had great success the entire time. He used to write for The Tonight Show. He used to write for a comedian named Carrot Top. Some of you will know that name if you're old and can remember things like that. And then God used him to really speak to a lot of people in churches, and it used to be a lot of teenagers. Back in 2000, the year 2000, I was a student minister here, and ourselves, along with four other churches, we had a couple hundred students to gather for a youth camp one summer in Florida. We gathered together, and we brought him in to come and be some entertainment and then challenge our students, and it was a great and incredible night. Mike, I have to say this. That if you enjoy, he's coming to preach. He's going to use the scripture and preach. But if you enjoy good comedy, I want you to come tonight, not here, but go to Compassion City Church. Now, don't go there next Sunday morning. Come back here. But go there tonight. I'm just kidding. I love Pastor John. He's going to be there tonight. That's why he's in town, to do a comedy show. And he's raising money for his ministry in the Dominican Republic and for the mission there. But my first encounter with Mike as a comedian, you know, comedians, if you're not careful, can be a little harsh and can be a little, they're quick-witted and quick-minded. And at this student camp, some of the people in the room were there. I will never forget this, that there was a heckler in our crowd. And it was, I'm trying to be careful because she may still live in town. I don't know but if she's listening on the radio, but she was a part of another one of the churches that went with us. And she just thought she was being funny. And so every time you would say something funny, she would sort of laugh at inappropriate times, be a little loud, talk back a little bit. We had a couple hundred teenagers there. And I remember leaning over to my brother saying, she is heckling a comedian. This is not going to go good for her. And so sure enough, you let her do that for a few minutes. And then finally, you looked at her and with all of our sweet teenagers in the room and you said, lady, I don't come down to your job and tell you how to run the Slurpee machine. You don't need to tell me how to do my comedy. And I thought, oh my goodness. No, it was interesting. It was a fun night. You were great. It was wonderful. I was great. I have so loved his heart for ministry and his heart for missions. Mike has since founded a ministry in the Dominican Republic. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But really, this worked out perfect when he had the free morning to come because it's a kickoff to what's next weekend, the Advance 2025 conference. He will help us see missionally today. And so I'm thankful to have Mike with us. So you pray for him as he comes to deliver God's word to us. Mike, you come, please, if you will, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do remember that 25 years ago now. Wow. I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember the old, good evening. How you doing? Good to see. I feel like it's evening because I've already preached one service. I feel like this is a great crowd today. You came out on a snowy morning. I appreciate that so very much. I did not realize it snowed this much in Alabama, and with this global warming is really messing stuff up. And but I'm happy that you are here. How many of you would say, Mike, I've seen you here before, so I kind of know you, okay? How many will not say that? You don't know me, or you won't claim me. Okay, good. Three people. Good. We can just get right into this. Then we don't have to do the formalities very much. And that's a great memory. That's right there, right there. So, I don't think we have any hecklers in the room here. But if we do, I'm ready. I'm ready for them. Pray with me today, Heavenly Father. I will do my best to distract these wonderful folks from the week. All the bad social media posts that made us upset and the phone calls we got from family members that bothered us and the diagnoses that scared us. And Father, as I do my job this morning, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be heard very strongly by each person in this room. I ask that they would allow you to speak to them. For if that happens, then today has been worth our time and worth our effort. Visit us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I am 62 years of age, so don't worry, I will not go too long. I just had a bottle of water. I have 24 minutes. What time do you normally get out in here, okay? Not what time do you want to get out in here. What time do you normally, what's the normal? 11:30. Okay, good. We can bring it in there. It depends on you guys. See, everybody thinks it's the pastor, you know. Oh, he went long today. Sometimes you didn't listen fast enough. Okay? Just got to remember that. And I realize I'm getting older. I don't hear things as fast anymore. I was at Cracker Barrel the other day and my daughters are sitting there going, Daddy, what was that used for? Daddy, what was that? I don't know that stuff at Cracker Barrel. Okay? Some of that was long before me. My daughter said, oh, were you born before Cracker Barrel was invented? And my other daughter goes, Dad was born before crackers were invented. Okay? You know? I said, you better believe it. I said, when I was your age, Elon Musk was a cologne they sold at Kmart, okay? That's right, okay. Some of my age are here. You remember that. I mean, it was different back then. Remote controls. I was the remote control in the family. You remember that when you were a kid? If a channel need change, you kids go boom, 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 boom. Dad would say, get up and go change it to channel 2. And then you'd stand there and adjust rabbit ears. How many remember rabbit ears right there? And you'd have to add tinfoil sometimes. And there were rare occasions when I would have to stand there for the whole show. Like like this, and the wealthy people, they'd have to go outside and twist the antenna. But our house, we had the rabbit ears like that, and that was, things were different. That is just very different. I mean, this was back in an age where you could ride in the back of a pickup truck. Remember that? You could drink from a garden hose. You let your kids drink from a garden hose today, the government will come in and take your children from you, okay? We're in a wimpy age now. We are. We played capture the flag. We played above the neck dodgeball. Take your time, folks. This will go easier on you if you just play along with us, okay? Right there. My friends and I'm not lying. My friends and I had a game that we played below the chest BB gun war. Okay? Did anybody else do this? Okay. Yeah, okay, some of my friends over here, right? I used to play it. And you would trust your friend who's 7 years old, who had a BB gun. And the rule was you could only pump it up 3 times. That was the maximum. But soon you'd get around the corner. You're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 21 before it explodes in my hand right there, right? And you would go out and we would shoot live BBs at each other. I used to play with my friends Ronnie Millsap and Ray Charles every day after school. I mean, we were tough. Now you get participation trophies for nothing. For just showing up. Oh, you get a participation trophy. I was on Amazon the other day and it asked me, would you like to purchase a participation trophy? I didn't do anything. You can go on Amazon now and get a participation trophy for not participating, okay? It's a crazy world. We played lawn darts. How many remember lawn darts? Yeah, you young folks don't know about it. Why? Because they took it off the market, okay? Just like McCarechrome. Remember that stuff? That iodine, that red stuff? Pepper spray before it went aerosol? Right there. They took it off the market. Why? Because it was a medicine that was killing people, okay? Right there. That was my favorite. Lawn darts, my favorite, though. Miniature Zulu javelins we'd give to an 8-year-old, and we'd say, try to throw them in that hula hoop circle down there where your baby sister's sitting right there. How many remember that? Right there. How many got hit by a lawn dart? Anybody get hit by a lawn dart? Most people can't talk after they've been hit by a lawn dart. Sir, right there, where'd you get hit? In the oh, you didn't even see it coming. Right there. Oh, okay. Mine, I got hit right here. Everybody take your right finger, reach up right here on your collarbone right there. Feel that little indentation. There's a little soft spot right there. If you get hit right there by a lawn dart coming down from 40 foot above you, I'll explain that in just a second. 40 foot above you, it hits right there. It will penetrate about 3.5 inches. It will immediately stop when it reaches that lawn dart safety washer. Praise the Lord for the safety washer. Now, you're probably saying this morning, Mike, how did that happen? My cousins were over, okay? Now, for some of you my generation, that's enough. We don't need to talk about it anymore. For you younger folks, let me explain. My cousins were over. It was a dark night. It was a Friday night. It was the night that family came over to the house. We grew up Baptist. We weren't allowed to smoke, drink, cuss, chew, dance, card, play, movie, go. We couldn't go out, okay? You know, we were in the house. Mom and dads, aunts and uncles, we were allowed, as Baptists, we were allowed to eat whatever we wanted as much as we wanted. That was our big sin. We were in the cake and pie. That's how the devil got to us right there, cake and pie. That's where devil's food came in. Anyway, so right there. It's 12:30 at night. What that meant was that all the television stations had gone off. Do you remember that back when television stations would go off? Television station would go off, they'd play a picture of a flag blowing in the breeze, they'd play the national anthem right there. Then after that, they would go to the color bars and it would go beep, and then it would go to snow right there. The morning, okay? 3 channels, okay? It's 12:30 at night. Mom and dad, aunts and uncles there at the kitchen table fellowshipping. Okay? And my cousins and I were bored. The television station had gone off. We decided to invent a new game. We went out on the front porch. We turned off the porch light. We went way out into the yard. This was dark Indiana night right there. Overcast, clouds in the air, ground fog rolling in at that time. And my cousin David had just received a brand new set of lawn darts for his birthday. And why not? He was 7. That's the age of accountability right there. He had received the lawn darts. We go out into the yard, and now you have to understand, new set of lawn darts, that was 12 lawn darts, okay? 12 of the sharpest they would ever be. They hadn't hit, you know, concrete yet, cars, people's backs yet. Okay, they're still sharp as all can get out right there. And there were six cousins. Okay, do the math on this. Six cousins goes into 12 lawn darts. That's one for each hand. Are you with me? Unless you're from West Virginia, but let's not go there. Okay, so anyway, we went way out into the yard, into the dark. It was a dark night. We held the lawn darts. We made a big circle right here. Six of us in a circle. And we counted down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. When we reached zero with all of our might, we threw the lawn darts straight up in the air and ran around in a circle experiencing the grace of God in our life, okay? It was a game we called Calvinism. And had to wait for the second wave on that one. Could have Martin Luther with us this morning. Anyway, folks, you got to have fun. I that's how I took a lawn dart right there. And it's one thing to get it in the foot or something. Most people got hit in the foot and the leg right there. But it's another thing to have a lawn dart sticking straight right there out of your shoulder right there. I went running for the house. My cousins were trying to stop me. You know why they were trying to stop me. If you're my generation, you know the rule. Back then, if one kid gets hurt, two or more are getting a whooping for it right there. They were looking out for themselves. They're trying to stop me. I break free. I go running back into the house, into the kitchen. Mom and dad's aunts and uncles right there. I still got the lawn dart sticking straight out of my shoulder right there. I run up to the table. I couldn't even talk. I'm like, My dad goes, well, pull it out and walk it off. Okay, right there, right there. I'm from the walk it off generation right there. Got a toothache? Chew on the other side. That was our dental insurance right there. So I'm real good with Obamacare. But anyway, I'm practically Canadian. So anyway, it's good to be here. Things have changed. Times have changed. Youth groups, I remember those. Man, I look at these kids nowadays. Right behind you, you got two right there. Like, man, I wish I was your age. I hate you. In a Christian way. Oh, man, to be young again. To be able to get up without making a noise. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at, right there. The older I get, the longer the noise, okay? My son told me the other day, he said, Dad, once you hit about 55, you started making a noise before you got up. I'd go, right there. So I can't wait. Next year, I want to buy one of those electric chairs. That way my noise can be right there. That's the noise I want to make right there. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today, by the way. Luke chapter 10. If you were here last time I was here to preach, and you take notes in your Bible of who preached and said what, you'll go, hey, didn't you preach this last time you were here? Yes and no. I have five sermons around this text. You're getting sermon number two. So how many of you remember sermon number one? That's what I thought. Okay. Good to know I made a lasting impression. You'll know the story. It's that famous story where a fella comes, a legal expert comes to Jesus and asks the question of who is my neighbor? How many remember that story? We're coming off of this verse here in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Everybody say thy heart. And with all thy soul. Everybody say soul. With all thy strength, everybody say strength. And with all thy mind, everybody say mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say neighbor. You know the verse, you've heard it, probably most of you could quote it. But in verse 29, we find that this lawyer wants clarification. I love the way the King James puts it. It says, he wanting to justify himself. Oh, I like to justify myself. I'm really good at that. No matter what you say, I've got a problem, I can tell you the reason why the problem happened, why it isn't me. Why something was misunderstood, something went wrong, but it wasn't me. And the lawyer wants to justify himself. And so he asked the question, who is my neighbor? Because like most of us, when we hear the word neighbor, we think of the person who lives next door to us. How many of you live on a street? You need to move into a house, okay? Trust me, if you move into a house, you live in that house on the street, next to you there's somebody here and somebody here. Some of you may have some property, your neighbor may be a half a mile down the road, okay? Fences make good neighbors, is what they say. I've had some neighbors you couldn't get a fence high enough for you, but let's not talk about Mexico. You know, when they came back to Sirius, they just came back to Sirius right there. Sorry, it's the ADD. By the way, you have one light out up there. Anyway, now you're looking, don't look, and stay with me. And Jesus dispels for this lawyer the idea that a neighbor is someone who is located geographically close to you. He doesn't allow the neighbor to say, well, you know, these people, they're part of my tribe, and these people, they're part of my tribe and my religion and my faith, because they lived within that, okay? He takes away the love thy neighbor as thyself as long as they're like you situation. He removes the as long as they subscribe to your particular party affiliation. Sorry, I'm not going to get political today, okay? You know I've told you this before. The only thing I know about politics is taken from two words, poly, which means many, and ticks, which are blood-sucking creatures, okay? That's all I know. Sorry. No, don't clap. That'll get you in trouble. Now your tires are going to be deflated when you get out there, right there. I don't get into politics, okay? But Jesus removes that. He removes racial lines which separate from neighbors. In fact, he launches into a story when he says, who is my neighbor? And you see the story. Okay, let's follow it here. Let's make sure we get it right, okay? In verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it says here, look there at the verse. It says that the man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, let's understand this distance here is a distance of 4,000 feet, not in length, but in elevation. It's a strong day's journey with a good horse. Back then, that would have been some kind of travel distance, okay? Compared to our leisure today. Boy, where can I be in 24 hours flying out of Atlanta? Anywhere. And he said, this guy on this road gets beat up. Not only was he beat up, but they really ripped him off. They not only took what he had, they took his clothing. That's robbed. I've been robbed. I've never had somebody say, mine thrown in those pants. Why did they take his clothing? Because it's hard to get help when you're naked. I'm serious. We go out of this church today and somebody's broke down on the side of the road out there. Their hood's up. They got a new brand new Ford F-150. They look like us. They're waving at us. We'll stop and call somebody for them. Same scenario, same Ford F-150. We're leaving the church right here. Guy's standing there waving at us, but he's naked. Pastor ain't even stopping. Do you know what I'm saying? I understand. So wow, all of a sudden this neighborliness becomes really outside of the box. And it said that they left him there broken and wounded and to die. And let's move on. Let's move. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, if you were here last time I spoke, you remember we talked about the actions of the priest, of where he saw the broken man and he went around the other side. And we said, let's stop throwing the priest under the bus and going, oh, look at those preachers. They can preach one way on Sunday and look at how they live the rest of the week. Because that's not the situation. Situation was the priest, his religion at that day in Judaism was a religion that said that he as a priest could not touch unclean things. He was not allowed by his religion, the way he viewed God, he wasn't allowed to touch brokenness. I'm sure he, like everybody else, has had tough days and tough times. We've all had tough times. Haven't you had tough times? We've all worked the first half of the day with our dress caught in the back of our pantyhose. And I know you ladies have had stuff happen to you too, but I'm talking to the men specifically right now. Sorry. I'm breaking it up for you people. I'm doing this for you. Everybody knows what it's like to hurt, and the priest had to go by and get up that next week and talk about how good God is, but yet knowing that if we really wanted forgiveness from God, he couldn't touch hurting people. Then it says, look at the next verse right there. Look at the next verse. You got it right there. I don't know why I'm circling around here. Verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he came to the place, He looked on him, he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Wow. Why'd the Levite do it? The Levite, he was the music director. He was the music pastor. He was the deacon. He was the elder. He was the security team. He was the helper in the church, the Levite. Why did he go around? Because like us, sometimes we look at brokenness and we get this attitude that says, well, if they hadn't have been stupid, it wouldn't have happened. If you hadn't put the drugs in your arm to begin with, you wouldn't be in this situation. Can I just be real blatant and honest? In fact, for the Levites, at least they had a religious reason. They believed that if you were broken, if you were hurt, if you were messed up, if you were diseased, okay, first of all, you wouldn't be allowed in the synagogue there, okay? But if you were, that was because God was punishing you for something you did, or your dad did, or your grandfather, or your great-grandfather did. And the last thing they wanted to do was interrupt what God was doing. But it's that judgmental side that says, you must have done something real wrong. I'll tell you what, folks, I've lived long enough to know that mess happens. Trauma happens. Tragedy happens. My first book was entitled, Life Happens, Shut Up, Smile, and Carry a Plunger. Because it does. That's why they call them accidents. All of a sudden, you're driving down the road. You just want to go to Walmart. And all of a sudden, bang, and you're spinning around. And they please come up and say, what happened? And you say, I don't know. I just wanted to go to Walmart. Look at the next verse. It says a Samaritan came by. I love that Jesus used the Samaritan because it was the man that the legal expert would have hated the most. Jesus made the hero out of the underdog. Oh, I always liked that. I used to watch professional wrestling. I always loved it when the underdog won. I don't watch it anymore. I've gotten saved. Jesus says, but a Samaritan comes by. Now, the Samaritans were not ungodly. They were not atheists. They were not agnostics. In fact, they believed in the same God that the Jews did. Their difference was that they believed that the Jews had taken the laws of God, the 10 beautiful laws of God, and added 613 laws to it that didn't belong with it. Sounds like us today. We're not that far. The Samaritans had married outside of not the religion as much because their religion was tied to who they were as a nation. And they had married out of the Jewish nation. They had married somebody else. They had grown, today if I could say it, maybe you're Italian and you married an Irish person. And they were shunned and ostracized because of this. In fact, I look around this room, and unless you are 100% Jew, which according to DNA records would almost be impossible, everybody in this room qualifies to be a Samaritan in the eyes of Judaism. And he looked at this lawyer, this one who was all about keeping the law, and he said, the Samaritan came by, and he saw him. You see it there? See it there? Right there? He saw him, and it says that he goes to him. He gets off his animal that he's riding, and it said he provided oil and what? Read it there. Wine. What was that? Did he make him a salad? My son wanted to know if he was making him a salad from Olive Garden. I said, no. Oil was the medicine of the day. We hear essential oils. People who are into, you know, ancient biblical oils. The wine was the antiseptic of the day. He gets the guy, he picks him up, he puts him on his own horse. Now that's where it would have separated from me. I am not letting naked people in my car. I have cloth seats. I would have called an Uber donkey. Can I be honest with you? Okay? I'm not trying to get up here thinking that I'm real spiritual. I'm an Uber donkey. I'd get it on the way. Lift whatever you got. And it says that they took him to an inn. Now, the word inn there would be defined as a place that met the need, kind of like the place that met the need for Mary and Joseph when that word for an inn was. It was a place where they could stay. But this particular inn was an inn that specialized in medical needs. In fact, maybe that's why we're hearing Mr. Luke talk about this. Maybe he was the guy that ran the place. And it said he spent the night with this broken guy. that he had picked up. The Samaritan picks him up, spends the night with him, says to the doctor of the house, says, look, here's 2 days' wages to take care of whatever his needs are and when I come back. So he said, I'm coming back too. When I come back, I'll take care of whatever the need is. And then Jesus looks at this lawyer, this one who had studied, who was well learned in all of the scriptures, because that scripture, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, say it with me, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself, goes way back all the way to the Leviticus area, okay? He knew that law. Jesus says, who was a neighbor? And this lawyer had to go. He couldn't even say the word Samaritan, Pastor. It's interesting. He doesn't say, it was a Samaritan. He couldn't say that. Why? Because this was a man who'd been trained to get up there and pray, God, thank you that I am not a woman, I'm not a dog, or Samaritan. Today, what I'd like us to take away from this is, who is my neighbor? Lots changed in 2025 years. What goes on in Ukraine and in Uganda and in Korea and in Laos, what goes on in California, what goes on in Washington affects people who live right here in Albertville, Alabama. In fact, I would say to you today that there is no longer any far away. And so Jesus, in his wonderful knowledge, said to this legal expert, you have to take the idea of neighborliness being a person next door to you off of the table. Jesus didn't even let it happen then. He said, even then, he made the neighbor from a distant place, a neighbor that was in need, and a neighbor that was really outside of his own religious realm. And he said, there! That's a neighbor. I find it really easy to be neighbor to my neighbor at home. I don't see him that much. Like it that way. Neighbor on the other side. Catholics, okay, so they're good people. Probably if I heard he was sick, I'd probably mow the lawn for him. You know what I mean? Be a neighbor, good neighbor. Right there. But let something major happen and all of a sudden the curtains close. Let me hear that he and his wife are having a problem and all of a sudden the curtains close. My neighbor, the next door down from me, my neighbor a couple years ago got arrested for something that would turn your stomach. And I gotta admit to you, Mr. Mike, Mr. Super Missionary guy, oh, he's got this cape. Would look before I'd open the garage door because I was too messy to get involved with. God had to convict me of that, Pastor. And Jesus is saying, where's your neighbor? Your neighbor is not just in Albertville, Alabama. Your neighbor is in Sisua, Dominican Republic. Your neighbor are those girls that I get a chance to minister to each and every week. Girls who will be sold at 10 years old, who will be sold on the streets tonight to an American tourist. That's your neighbor. She's your neighbor. That little girl, she is your neighbor. And you know who else is your neighbor? The man that's buying her. Pastor, I got to be honest with you. That's a harder one for me. I take trips and people take trips. They come down and I take them out on the streets. And I've got guys that are going, just let me grab one of those guys and take him back in the corner. And no, they are the lost too. They are our neighbor. Why are you doing the sermon today, Mike? Man, it's kind of heavy. We got a beautiful day outside, snow covering the ground. Bambi comes out later, the reindeer. Because you're headed into a mission conference. And I want to encourage you to remove the mentality of us and them. I want you to pull away from the those people. You know them. And look at this world. This is my father's world. Have you remember that song growing up as a kid? I would sing the rest of it, but I can't remember. But it's got that tune, but I don't remember. Da 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 da. Thank you. Thank you for joining me, leaving me up here hanging. Thank you. Appreciate that. Oh no, you start out with a song off cuff. Everybody's on it right there. Mike does. They're like, go for it, fat guy. Yeah, all right. But this is my father's world. Russ Taff used to have a song. I'm going to be with him in a couple weeks. And he used to say, you're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Remember that one? I remember that great theologian, Winona Judd. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's... More people knew that than they knew the Christian song, though. I just want to point that out. Woo! Welcome to Alabama. Oh, okay. Sweet Home Alabama, written by people from Jacksonville. Walk away, folks. As you go into your mission conference, I want you to cast down the us and them. I want you to see those pictures. I remember the time I was here and you rebuilt a garbage dump. And it seems so foreign to us. And it is, and they wear strange clothing and they dress and their faces are different. But I want you not to look at, oh, look, it's what's happening in Uganda. I want you to look at it and say, look at what's happening to my neighbor. Because that's how Jesus saw it. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray together. Our brother is coming to lead us in an invitational song. Folks, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, let me explain to you. Maybe today you're saying, wow, you know, I'd really like to be part of this wonderful team of the kingdom of God that loves people. And today I want you to know during our invitation time, you can slide forward. If you need to receive Christ, you come down. We'll have one of our deacons meet with you and pray with you, take you, answer any question you need. That is open today. These invitation times are where we sing and people come down. Maybe today you need prayer, or maybe you need to... God has spoken to you today, and I want you to know that these altars are going to be open today that you can pray. We're not going to be long today. We've got a baptism we're going to do, and then we're going to be out of here. But we're going to sing a verse, and while we're singing this verse, we're singing Just As I Am, Brother. The song is talking to people of Just As I Am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. For those of you who are Christians, you're past that. Our object today is to say, Father, just as I am, I don't want to stay. I want to grow more like you every day. And when your spirit moves in me, I will respond. Because that's what I've been called to do as I travel on. So you ask God today as we sing, how this message of neighborliness needs to impact your world tomorrow morning. Stand with me, church. You respond, Father, have your way right now.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.